took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David.
And Pastor Barry.
And welcome to another edition of Glorious Day. And that glorious day is one day closer, isn't it, brother?
Yes, it is.
We love to just be here to help you. We're hoping, we know God's going to use us to help folk, as has done that already.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting a series of teachings in these programs that we're going to call The Storms of Life. And that's the title of our first program.
That's right.
Because as you'll understand as we unpack all this, that life can be stormy sometimes.
Man, you don't have to be a weatherman to know that. Just look into your heart and look out the window. And
that's right.
Mm.
Well, the storms, the hurricanes, we live in Florida, so the hurricanes are kind of a seasonal thing. And but we know they, you know, when we think of the hurricanes and how devastating they can be, we leap into the spiritual side of that.
Mm.
And the teaching from those storms is that spiritual storms are also devastating. And we know many of you are still struggling with the damage from those storms. And we'd like to give you a word from the Lord to help you get out of that rubble.
Amen. We have something better than FEMA. We have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he has never failed.
No, he doesn't.
FEMA can't necessarily say that. But anyway, yeah. Well, we have a scripture that's going to start us off tonight.
Would you like to share that with us, David?
I would love to. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
It is, the citation is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's a very familiar scripture. And here's how it goes. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side," he, of course, being Jesus, speaking to his disciples. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Mm.
And that's the end of that citation. Again, a familiar verse, a set selection of verses from Mark's gospel. And so, Barry, we really want to jump into this because this is going to do some teaching to help us understand what Jesus is talking about, what this scripture is dealing with.
You know, David, something that I share with people that I'm teaching when I'm teaching a Bible class, a Bible study, is you might want to take a peek at what happened just before and what happened right after this.
It yes.
gives you a matter of perspective.
Yes.
And what's funny about this is Jesus just finished preaching about faith.
Uh-huh.
In yep. fact, he even shared that parable of the mustard seed, and everybody was excited. Yes, yes. You know, I'm sure these guys were just patting each other on the back because they were just so pumped up.
Yeah.
And within a few minutes, they lost their faith.
Yep.
And then yeah. right after this, Jesus continued his work because we all know why he went across the seas. He was going to go meet someone who had 1,000 or more demons in him.
Yes.
A man named Legion.
Uh-huh. There was a bunch of them.
So here we are in the middle of all this work where he's looking at his disciples and saying, "Where's your faith?"
Yeah. Well, and it was, here's the interesting thing is, when you go from theory to practice, right?
Ah, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's one thing to listen to a spirit-led teacher teaching you about faith or other relative things relative to your being a disciple. It's another thing to put it into practice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read the Gospels, you notice that Jesus was big into practice. If you go to Luke, for instance, chapters 9 and 10, in chapter 9, he's sending out the 12 apostles to do ministry. Now, they've been at it for a while. It's probably a year into his ministry, maybe. They had two more years to go, but you know, they probably weren't thinking they were going to hit the road, right?
They probably felt they were ill-equipped and nervous and self-doubting.
Well, how many of us, Barry, thinking about you and me, but folks, as you're listening, if you're a believer, think about that first moment in your life when you heard the call from God to put your faith into practice, right?
Yes. In fact, I can remember when I was in seminary, the only credential I had in my wallet was my driver's license, David, and I was actually called an embryonic theologue.
Yes.
And that was somewhat complimentary.
Did you understand that?
No, I just thought, oh, well, they really think I'm smart. And I was sent out into the world early on as a test to see just how I would do. And I tell you, I felt like the Barney Fife of church ministries. I was shaking in my boots.
Man,
but you know, what I realize is if you are doing God's work, he will equip you.
He will.
And he will strengthen you.
Always.
Yes.
Always. Again, and as you probably have already guessed, folks who are listening in, that we're sympathetic with people that are still doing theoretical ministry and living a theoretical faith life, we are now living in days when all around us are storms.
Amen, brother.
In our nation, but in the world too. Here we have political chaos. We have incredible confusion in our culture. We're still not in the midst of COVID, but we're still in a piece of it that's still very challenging. The press wants to keep us afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, always all of their headlines are dark and heavy, and there's no real hope in, you know, the liberal press. Okay, we already know that. So,
right.
But where is the hope? The hope is in Jesus. Isn't it? And Barry, you've talked so many times to me about when you feel down, you go into the Word, and what do you find?
I find direction, I find comfort, I find guidance, and I find in many cases, I'm given the words.
Yes.
Because we, as pastors, are put in situations where people are going through terrible storms, deaths and job loss and home loss and all those things that will test the faith.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, quite frankly, we'll go into a situation and think, okay, well, Lord, I just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And we're comforted by the fact that he always gives us not only the words to say, but a plan, his plan.
It's a concrete plan, and it's perfect because it's God's plan.
Yes, not ours.
No. No, and you know, we've also, you know, we've, as many of us going to school, growing up, we've had to study history, world history, Florida history. I mean, history, different avenues of understanding history somewhere on planet Earth. And that's sort of an armchair observer's approach where we study all the sufferings of humanity throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while we're sipping our coffee and maybe munching, you know, a handful of peanuts, there's no connectivity until we ourselves are living history right now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you, I know you're listening and you're saying, yep, been there, done that.
Yeah.
And so here we are again today. And if you're feeling fear right now or anxiety because of the things we've discussed, let me tell you, that is not from God. Because think of these disciples now. Let's get back to this scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're in the boat. Jesus fell asleep. And let's face it, he wasn't testing them. He was tired. He'd been ministering to people all day long.
It's not an 8-hour job for him.
No, and it's exhausting.
Yes, it
is. You know?
Is.
And so he was sleeping. But his quiescence, wasn't that a great word?
I like that. I'm going to look that up later.
Look it up. In fact, kill me if I'm getting it right, because I'm not sure. But his quiescence had not just to do with the fact that he was tired, but he had the peace because he was God. But the storms of life didn't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew they were going to make it. But the disciples at that point were faced with their first faith conflict. Because this was practical. You know, and they were thinking maybe Jesus had mentioned to them, you know, if we're rowing on the lake and we got to come up with a storm, you know, just pray about peace. Pray about the storm ending. Trust God, you know, believe that his grace. And they forgot all of that because, you know, they were shaking, mm-hmm. not because it was cold or they were wet, but because they were
great
afraid.
Fear. Great fear. And you have to wonder if this would have happened after the day of Pentecost, if the reaction would have been 180, completely different.
Oh, would have been completely different.
Because they were changed men.
Yeah, they would have gathered together, held hands and prayed and given God thanks for the opportunity to be in the middle of the storm.
Well, you know, we must not judge them because we're all in the same boat.
Sure, we are.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
And the fact that they did as well as they did with what they had.
That's right.
And Jesus knew that. You know.
Oh, he did.
He was constantly reminding them that faith is a great power.
And he really loved them.
Yes, he did.
You know, and his response was always loving. And we love you too, folks. Listen, we don't know a lot of you, but we do love you because it's the love of Christ in us. And so we're really not saying these things to make you feel bad. We really aren't. You're feeling bad enough if you're fearful today. But what we do want to point to is the love of Christ Jesus, who is there with you now. Now, Barry and I don't know what storms you're in right now.
No, we don't. We really don't.
We don't know how your boat's rocking, how the waves are crashing against it, and how afraid you are. But what we do know, because we've been there, and is that Jesus is there with you right now. And you may think he's sleeping.
On a cushion
while you're suffering, but no, he's right there waiting for you as Jesus was waiting for them, to ask him to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his chiding, it seems like, you know, he would say, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? You know, well, you know, I have to say, when I first read this several years ago, maybe decades ago, you know, I heard my dad, my earthly father in that. Because, you know, he struggled, you know, he had some issues and stuff, and he loved me, but he didn't always know how to say that. But he wanted to help me so bad that when he ended up, you know, yelling at me because I made a mistake, I was really, it was horrible.
I understand that.
You know, you've been there too, right?
My father would have told me to swim to shore and walk it off.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's going to work for sure.
That'll be fine.
You know, but in truth, you know, I love my father and I've certainly forgiven him because he did the best he could. But this is not my father. Perfect Father, God the Father working and speaking. Jesus is speaking for the Father here, and he calmed the storm.
Do you know what's a thing of beauty to behold is when people rise above the fear during the storm, and we get to witness that?
Yeah.
And I've seen that in my life, where someone going through the worst of times not only weathers the storm with dignity and grace, but continues to honor God.
Yes.
And to do his work. And I saw this in a pediatric ICU, David, if you have a second.
I do, and I think our listeners have at least two.
Before I was a pastor, I worked in critical care as a respiratory therapist, and I was crazy enough to volunteer to work PDICU, is what they called it, with the kids. And one night shift, there was a cry and a hue that there was a young girl missing. There was a child missing.
Hmm.
And when that happens in a hospital, there's a lockdown, and there's a panic in the hallways, and people will search, and you have to call the parents, and you call the police, and everybody to let them know that there indeed is a storm going on in the ICU.
Oh, yeah.
And after everybody searched the whole hospital and couldn't find this missing little girl who was 7 years old, a nurse started giggling, and she said, "Look," and across the ICU from this missing little girl's bed was a child sleeping with 4 feet sticking out of the sheets. What happened was this little girl, who was going through a terrible, terrible time of her own, saw a little girl crying across the unit and took the time to sneak over and comfort her and snuggle with her because she felt that was what she had to do.
Do you see Jesus in that, brother?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I see all of these frightened disciples in us.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, that 7-year-old girl showed everybody what they should be doing.
Yes.
If they were to honor
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. And that's, in a way, that's what we're trying to do for you, our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I said earlier we're in a stormy period right now. So let me ask you, listeners, who do you have with you in these storms today? I hope you have Jesus. But you may not. You may not know him. You may not have desired to invite him in your life. Or you may have simply a conceptual Jesus who's only in your mind, you know. And but who do you, if you don't have, if you're in this boat, you know, I guess the question is more, who do you want to have with you?
Right.
Yeah?
Who do you want to have with you, and how effective is your own control of the situation?
Yeah.
In a self-examination, you'll think, well, I'm doing the best I can with what I got and my power. And the reality is that you're not really in control.
Yeah.
There's a higher power. And if you would lower your pride level and surrender, it's amazing what happens. You know, I see this all the time with people that have just a wee bit of pride. And I hear the response, do you need help? Do you need prayer? No, I've got this.
Yeah.
I'll handle this.
Yeah.
And it's a miserable plan.
It started out.
Yeah.
No, it didn't start out good and got miserable. It started miserable, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's the key here is not trusting in your own power and understanding. And I think the Bible does talk about that, doesn't it, David? Lean not on your own understanding.
As a matter of fact, we have another program in this series where that's going to be our scripture. One of our scriptures, anyway.
I did
anyway.
Look ahead, David, so I did see
I know that. You read ahead, which is...
I'm not that smart.
That's okay. No, you're smarter than that. But it's always helpful to be literate, too. And you express that. But, yeah, this is critical, really, folks. This is critical. The Lord put this on our hearts to present to you today. Because he knows, believe me, and Barry and I as pastors, and we have different venues that we're in, but we see the common thing is both believers and unbelievers who have, they're cast adrift in their storm. They believe they are. You know, they're in the boat all by themselves, or they have other people that don't know what to do. They're not reaching for Jesus. They're trying to form a committee to figure out how to deal with this. And as friends, if you don't have Jesus as the chair of your committee, and even more than that, if you don't have him disbanding your committee so he can take over,
right,
then you are lost. You are going to stay in that storm. And, you know, only God's going to keep you from crashing on the shore or the ship sinking. We don't want that. You don't want that. But you have to call on Jesus like they did.
And they were amazed because who was this person up to this point in time?
Yeah.
The only people that were verbalized, the only beings that were verbalizing that he was the Christ were the demons. And Jesus
exactly.
was busy keeping them quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But they knew who Jesus was better than his disciples,
right.
At least in the early days of their ministry.
But I think after this, all through that little crowd of apostles, word was out. This
yes.
is not just a prophet. You know,
they
were beginning to understand between this and the other miracles, there was something wonderful going on here.
You know, later on, and it may have been in the second or halfway through his second year of ministry when the disciples had, and the apostles especially, because they were picked to be primary leaders in that whole community of disciples. And when they started to get a clue every now and then, you know, when they started to pray more and study more and listen to Jesus more and the Holy Spirit, they were actually welcoming the Spirit, because there's one day when the whole discussion is, you know, Jesus says, who do people say that I am, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so there's a variety of things they've heard as they move to the crowds in the cities. But then Peter, praise God for Peter. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus acknowledges and said, only the Spirit could have told you that.
That's right.
You know, you didn't get that on your own with your mind, Peter, which is still, by the way, in need of a little more healing. You didn't say that directly, but you know that.
We read between the lines
David. Between the lines. But the point is that, you know, this is who Jesus is. He is God. He is still alive. He emerged on the third day, resurrected. He ascended to be with the Father, but he has never left us. And so he is still available to call upon in the storms of life. And our encouragement to you is to do that very thing.
Amen. And you know, as a chaplain, sometimes I've learned that you need to give people just a little bit of a push.
Yeah.
And I work with a wonderful woman named Karen. She wouldn't mind me mentioning her name. And when she sees the storms going on in these people's lives, and she leaves their room, and I see her praying for them outside the room.
Yeah.
And in some cases, she'll actually take them by the hand and lead them to an empty room saying, go in there, Jesus is waiting to talk to you.
I love that.
Yeah. And yeah. They're obedient to her because she walks the walk and she talks the talk. And,
yes.
She is anointed.
Yes.
I'm not crazy about the pink post-its on people's foreheads saying Jesus, but when they wake up, they'll take the post-it off and they read the name Jesus. That's her leaving a message for them.
Yeah, right.
But get a clue.
Yeah.
It's not just a little push, but also each and every one of us as Christians are preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus in the way we love our life. So they're watching a sermon. They may not be listening to a sermon, but they're
watching
a sermon.
That's
and they
right.
see you going through the storms. They see you going through a storm with grace, with dignity, and in prayer. And they want that.
They do.
They don't possess it yet, but they recognize that you are leaning on a higher power and not on
your own
understanding. And I think that's important to share because people are watching you. They're on the fence.
That's right.
Thinking, oh, maybe, but, you know, I'm going through some stuff that I'm not sure God can even handle. That's pride.
But that is pride.
Yes.
God can handle anything you've got, believe me. And he wants to. You know, this is, and when you exercise the faith that God gave you, because it's a Holy Spirit gift, your mind, again, can't generate the faith, but your spirit can. And when you know, you can call on Jesus. He wants you to call on him. He wants to bring peace into the storms of your life. And he won't just bring peace, but you'll learn some things because of that, because of what he's doing, because of what he shows you, how the storms came about, and what he did in his healing and deliverance and all the things that he wanted to do that you invited him to do. And it's also at that point, what a powerful witness you have.
Yeah, you've got yourself a testimony there.
You do.
So it's not just saying, well, I understand, but you can share with people what happened in the middle of your storm when your boat was sinking.
Yeah. You know what I found in a lot of people, a lot of believers now?
What's that, David?
And even I'm going to speak now from personal experience, because in the early days of my faith walk with Jesus, and I read the Word, and you know, I believed what I read, but I was afraid of speaking it, you know? For instance, Jesus heals today, but when I would encounter a brother who talked about needing healing, I was afraid to pray for them. Now, and only because if they didn't get healed, I would look bad.
Ah.
You know, right?
Okay. What would that be called, David?
Well, that's pride.
Pride.
That's pride and arrogance.
Fear, yeah.
You know, and the point is that, Jesus, listen to what he tells you to do, and then do it. And it's up to him. You don't heal anybody. You don't... I mean, you may be a very comforting person, but the true comfort is God's perfect compassion and mercy. It comes through you. It is ministered in that moment. You can't save anybody. You can't heal anybody. You know, you can't do anything apart from Jesus. But when you do it in his name, he will do something. He always does something.
Yes, he does.
He does the right thing. You know,
it's up to you to show up.
Yeah.
And speak up.
Show up and speak up. Exactly right. And this is, we got to have courage, you know? And you can read the Bible all day long. You can, you know, do a study, all these books, many of them which are really good. Talk to all these people who have great, strong faith lives. But if you don't put yourself in the position of getting in that boat and being in the middle of the storm and practicing your faith,
right,
you know, then you're all you're going to be is a theoretical Christian, you know. Frankly, that they don't go anywhere, they don't do anything. You know, God loves you, but you're not making a difference. He's not making a difference through you. Rather, that's what he wants to do, and
that's
today especially.
And you know, when I would work with the homeless over here in Stuart, I also call that a dirty fingernail ministry.
Yeah.
Because you roll up your sleeves and you get down and dirty and sweaty, and that's where you find Jesus there. And he will tell you what to do and what to say, and his message, not ours. Again, David, amen.
Amen. It's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Our time is running out for this time. Let me just tell you that the next episode? I keep using that word, episode or the next program, we're going to continue the theme of storms mm-hmm. in your life with a slightly different focus. And I believe that I'm going to have be able to offer a story from my life about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Anyway, it's time to go. I'd like to pray for our listeners who are still in that rocking boat in the middle of the dark storm.
Please do that, David.
I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, I hold up to you right now, anyone listening in especially, but doesn't have to be listening in, just anyone that has a need who is in a storm mm-hmm. in their life, and it absolutely is frightening to them. And they may be alone in that boat, which is even more frightening. Or they may have a collection of other clueless people, which is even worse sometimes because mm-hmm. all they do is complain and cry about the issue and nothing gets done. But Father, I pray for them, and I pray that you will reveal to them the truth that Jesus calms every storm, and that if they will turn to him, if they will turn to their Lord and Savior and invite him to come into their midst and to calm the storms, that he will do that.
Mm-hmm.
For it is, Lord, in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Barry, brother, it's time to say good night or good morning.
Well, good night, good morning to you, David.
And we'll talk to our friends next week.
Amen. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Your grace.